Such a joy to be able to dive into God's Word together this morning. I invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And the reason I'm up so early, normally I don't get up to preach this early in the service, is because the Texans have their opener today. No, that is not the reason, though they are. The reason is because we're going to have a special guided time of prayer at the end of my message. So what I need you to have in your hands, two items, the sermon listening guide, and you're going to go to that in just a moment, and then this little card that we'll call attention to during our prayer time here in a few moments. So if you'll have that ready, you should have a pen with your card and a sermon listening guide, and we're going to dive into that together here in just a few moments. It was 1992 when Tanya and I moved to Folsom, Louisiana, just north of New Orleans, so that I could go to seminary. She was a teacher at Folsom Elementary there, and just we started our as newlyweds in ministry there, and it was so much fun to just get to know the people. And there really were two groups of people in our small community there. You had the homegrown people who grew up in Folsom, and then you had those who were moving out of New Orleans coming north to the North Shore. And so you had the homegrown people, and then you had the come-ears. That's what the homegrown people called those who had moved to the North Shore, the come-ears. And Tanya launched a life group to reach people who were in worship and not connected to a life group. And it was so interesting as that class grew, it was a mixture of the homegrown and the come-ears. It was such a portrait of God's grace at work to bring those two groups of people together. And it was a varied class. It was from a dump truck driver to a college professor in that same group. And Tanya would teach the Word of God. And there was such a sweet movement of God's Spirit in that group. And one of the families who had come from New Orleans owned a sign company there. I had the privilege of leading them to the Lord and baptizing their entire family, and the wife's dad came to that event. And that's where I met Walter for the first time, and then he would come to special events periodically, and he was a man far from God. He had retired from the Navy, had tattoos up and down each arm, and just really what we would call hellbound, not because of the tattoos, but because he just had no relationship with the Lord and no desire. Just kind of kept that at bay. And he would come to different events, and finally we had a little one-on-one after the event, and I said, well, Walter, do you play golf? He said, yeah. I said, well, so do I. Would you ever be interested in us playing golf together? He said, I'd love to. So we went to Pearl River Country Club, just east, northeast, right over the river from northeast Louisiana into Pearl River County. And so we got to play golf together, and each hole, I would kind of unveil more of my story, ask more about his, just to get to know each other more and more. And if he hit a bad shot, he would share a vocabulary word that normally we wouldn't use. But he was very free in just being who he was and part of his journey. And we just really connected each hole. And then I would tell more about my testimony. And then a little bit later into our journey on the back nine, I began to share the gospel with him and how he could come to faith in Jesus Christ. And we get to the 18th hole, which had an elevated tee box, a par three, about 189 yards over water. And it was then we hit our tee shots, got back in the golf cart, and said, Walter, before we go to the green, I've been sharing with you how you can have the assurance of having an eternal life. Would you like to receive God's forgiveness by trusting in Jesus alone for salvation right here, right now? And his response was, Steve, you scanned me. You scanned me. You scanned me. And I was like, I didn't mean to scare you. I just wanted to share with you the gift of eternal life. You can be saved today and go to heaven and not have to fear hell. He's like, you scanned me. You scanned me. And so I backed off, and I said, well, listen, whenever you're ready, would you be willing to let me know and come to me, because I want to be involved in your salvation experience? He said, I give you my word. 2 weeks later, I'm in my office at First Baptist Folsom in my study, and I hear what sounds like a tornado coming through. And the door opened, and I heard a lot of noise down the hall, and then he came up to my office and opened the door, and he busted right in and said, I'm ready to get saved right here and right now. I said, now? He said, now. I said, you scanned me. You scanned me. And it was such a powerful moment as Walter and I knelt down and he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And in that moment, he was transformed by the power of God and saw such a demonstration of the grace of God. And what I want you to know is in that very moment, the in Christ realities that we're going to look at together became his reality. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, what God has done for you in Christ becomes your reality immediately. Now, Paul does say you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What he means by that is you have to work out what God has worked in. Now, last Sunday, we looked at the first realities. I want to review those for context. We're in Ephesians chapter 1, if you'll go there. Or it's so sweet last Sunday when I said, I feel like we need to start with the Hebrew word, wow. And on the second row, one of our young little guys said, that's not a Hebrew word. And he's right, and I appreciate that so much. Wow. Here's a statement. God's initiative transforms my identity. God's initiative transforms my identity. Here in verses 3 through 14 is one continuous sentence in Greek. And here in these verses, it features what's called the Trinity. The Trinity is, that word's not used in the Bible, but the doctrine is, the doctrine of the Trinity. And you'll see here in our verses, in verses 3 through 10, God the Father. And then you'll notice in verses 11 and 12, God the Son. And then in verses 13 through 14, God the Holy Spirit. And what we learned last Sunday that is so foundational is that our union with Christ connects us to the Father's blessings. It's very important to understand that. And the goal is for us to live each day reflecting our new identity in Christ. And my passion is that these in Christ realities that we're going to walk through become real to us and obvious to others in our daily journey. Now, here are the three we explored last Sunday. What I would do with the sermon listening guide, if you'll just take that out, and I would just on one side put 1 through 8. 1 through 8. I'm going to give you the 3 from last Sunday real quickly, then I'm going to unfold the 5 for today before our guided prayer time. Here's in Christ reality number 1. In Christ, I am chosen. Remember that one? I am chosen. Literally by God and for God. Number 2, in Christ, I am adopted. Wow. Our verse said predestined for adoption. I'm adopted into God's family. I'm predestined for adoption. Don't let the word predestined scare you away. Here's a really good word picture. So you're going to heaven, and you get to the pearly gates, and there's a sign overhead that says, whosoever will may come. Now, that's the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, whosoever will may come. That's the gospel invitation. So, you go through the pearly gates, and now you're in the streets of gold, and you look back, and you see a sign on this side of the pearly gates that says, predestined before the foundation of the world. That's the picture. Number 3, in Christ, I am purposed. I am purposed. As a trophy of his grace. Remember, God saves you and then places you in the display window of life so that you can showcase his grace. That's why we're not to withhold our testimony. We're not to withhold our journey with God and the ups and downs, the ins and outs. That's part of our story. That's part of who makes us who we are in Christ. And the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord... I don't believe you. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, if you know so. So don't withhold your testimony. Showcase his grace, because you're a trophy of his grace. Now we move into our remaining in Christ realities. Let me give you number 4. In Christ, I am redeemed. And that's a loaded word. I am redeemed. Now we're in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. If you're there, would you say, I'm there? In him, that is Jesus, in Christ, our union with Christ, in him, meaning Jesus, we have redemption through his blood. Now, this word redemption is a powerful word in the Bible. It's used to refer to paying a ransom in order to release a person from bondage, especially that of slavery. In the Roman Empire, there were 60 million slaves, and they often were bought and sold like pieces of furniture. Now, we don't affirm that at any level. But the carryover, the reality is that a man would purchase a slave and he could choose to set him free. And that's a picture of what Jesus did for us. He paid the ransom and set us free. Romans 3:23, many of us know, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but verse 24, and are justified. It's just if I'd never sinned, and are justified by his grace as a gift through redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now don't miss this picture. We are redeemed through his blood. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. Next Sunday, we're going to be observing the Lord's Supper, and Pastor Lewis is going to be leading our Lord's Supper service and reminding us of the value and how precious the blood of Jesus is. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission or removal of sins. Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off, that's all of us, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And when I was young in the ministry, surrendering to preach at age 16 after a violent jet ski accident where I was on my deathbed and not supposed to live, and through that God called me to preach, I began to listen to Dr. Charles Stanley, and I would read his books and even order his cassette tapes because I wanted to learn how to preach and how to teach the Word of God. And I remember him sharing about his passion for photography. Many of his books feature his personal photography. He just has such a passion for photography. And he had this amazing set, this kit, this equipment that was unbelievable for his photography. And they're going through a building campaign, and the Lord convicted him about his photography equipment. And so Charles Stanley decided he would step away from photography, and he took all of his valuable equipment, went to the pawn shop and sold it all and walked away from something he treasured. A few days later, there's a knock on his office door, and someone walks in with this big package and puts it on his desk, and they leave, and he opens the box, and it was all of his camera equipment. A church member had purchased it and brought it back. That's redemption. And that's what Jesus has done for you and for me. That's why in Christ we can say, I am redeemed. I love the song, I am redeemed. I'm redeemed, bought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. If anyone had asked you just who I am, tell them, I am redeemed. Here's a phrase I want you to write down. I am free because Jesus shed his blood for me. I am free because Jesus shed his blood for me. Here's number five. In Christ, I am forgiven. If there's anything that ought to get us on shouting ground, if you want to celebrate the ultimate touchdown in life, it's this in Christ reality. I am forgiven. Look at verse 7. Remember, in him, meaning Jesus, we have redemption through his blood. And here it is, the forgiveness of our trespasses. The word trespass here means overt sin, sin of commission. It means that here's the line and we crossed the line. It means we went out of bounds with God. It means we bypassed God's will, God's best. We overtly rebelled against God. We did not do what God wanted us to do. It's a trespass according to the riches of his grace. So here's what Paul is saying under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Our redemption through his blood provides the forgiveness of our trespasses. Now, there's a beautiful portrait of this in the Old Testament. It's called the Day of Atonement. One day a year, Yom Kippur, when the high priest would take two goats. He would kill the one, sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. He would take the second goat, and he would confess the sins of Israel over that goat that was still alive. And then they would escort that goat out of the camp and to the wilderness. And the picture is that the sin is now removed. And that's a beautiful portrait of the activity of God in Christ. That what Jesus did on the cross 2,000 years ago when he paid our sin debt in full, purchasing our salvation. Listen carefully. He also, in that act, satisfied the wrath of God for our sin and provided forgiveness of our sin. And our sin has been removed, past, present, future. Our sin has been removed so that the righteousness of Christ could be deposited into our account. Wow. God's activity truly transforms my identity. I am forgiven. Six times in Ephesians, Paul refers to God's riches. Verse 7, verse 18, chapter 2, verse 4, verse 7, chapter 3, verses 8 and 16, according to the riches of his grace. And it's very important that you hear this, not out of, but according to. Some of you perhaps know about Amazon. If you've ever ordered anything out of Amazon, would you raise your hand and testify? I have the Amazon app on my phone right here. When somebody mentions to me in passing, oh, Pastor, you got to read this book. Hey, this is such a good book. Instantly, I open up my Amazon app. It's a one-click purchase, and it goes into my Kindle, which is on all my Apple products instantaneously. Isn't that cool? Now I have a beautiful library at our Champions campus with over 1,500 books. It's so beautiful. I've got over 2,000 on my phone. Much easier to relocate. Jeff Bezos, who owns the founder of Amazon, is worth $143 billion. Now, if he were to give to you out of his riches, he could give you $5 or $10 or $100. But if he gave not out of, but according to his riches, it's a whole nother level. And that's what God has done for us in Christ. Giving according to the riches of his grace. So here's the action step. Walk in the freedom of being forgiven. Walk in the freedom of being forgiven. Here's in Christ reality number six. Ready for it? Say, I'm ready. In Christ, I am graced. G-R-A-C-E-D. I am graced. Now, in parentheses by that, you may want to put enlightened, included, informed. In other words, I'm graced with something outside of me. God has given me something I didn't have. I'm enlightened. I'm included. I'm informed. Now, we pick up in verse 7. According to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. I love that word picture. I think of Niagara Falls. Which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. Notice, making known to us the mystery of his will. According to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Speaking of the millennial reign of Christ. So notice this picture. He lavished us with his grace. Now remember, mercy is not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you do not deserve. And what God has done in Christ for us, God has lavished us. He has cascaded us with his grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. He's graced us. We are blessed beyond measure. And notice he made known to us the mystery of his will. The word mystery is a previously hidden truth unveiling God's revelation. So God chooses to reveal himself. I remember in 1992 when we went through experiencing God, Henry Blackaby says that God is a God of revelation, that God reveals himself, his purposes, and his ways. God is a God of revelation. Now God's grace enables us to understand his will. Now, some of you this morning are going through a difficult season. Maybe you're going through a season of uncertainty. Maybe for you, the fog is just hovering over and there's no clarity. And you're just asking God to let the fog lift, to illuminate the path that God wants you to take. And some of you are just in the fog right now, just saying, I need clarity. So that needs to be your prayer during our prayer time. Is God, give me clarity, give me wisdom. Let me see your will. Let the fog lift. For some of you, you have more than one option in front of you, and you're saying, God, I don't know which way to go. It's a win-win. They're both good, but I don't want to settle for less and miss your best. So, God, I need wisdom and discernment to know which of these options you want me to embrace. God's grace enables you to discern His will. How many of you have ever been to a 3D movie and can testify? Anybody? 3D movie? Wasn't it amazing in 3D that those objects on the screen literally come off of the screen? You know, the first 3D movie I saw way back in the younger days of my life, way back, Jaws in 3D. That's not funny. You see everybody reaching like this at all the beautiful little fish, all the little colorful fish, and then when Jaws jumped out of the screen, the popcorn went a-flying. But whenever you take your 3D glasses off, it gets blurry. It skews your view. You just don't see clearly because that movie is designed in 3D. And the same is true when you're trying to discern God's will. It's important that you have your 3D lens on. And that is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit living inside of you who helps you see what you normally wouldn't see. And God, by His grace, lavishes you, cascades you with His grace so that you can understand the mystery of His will. Here's the application. God will accomplish His plan, His way, and His timing. And His grace enables us to participate in the journey. Here's in Christ reality number 7. You ready for it? Say, let's go. In Christ, I am enriched. I'm enriched. Blessed beyond measure. In verse 11, in Him, meaning Jesus, we have obtained an inheritance. Having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. Whenever my dad died 2 years ago, all that was left of his life after a very hard life of alcohol and prison, all of his earthly belongings were in a paper sack. That's it. My inheritance is not coming through the family tree of Trammell. My inheritance is coming through the family tree of Jesus. What about you? What about you? So that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory. What does your inheritance look like? You see, our inheritance in Christ is both now and not yet. I remember reading a story about an art dealer who was so blessed to go to this particular art auction because it had art that he wanted. And when he got there, was blown away by this warehouse filled with very, very rare art. And as you can imagine, as an art dealer, he already had the ones picked out that he was going to bid on. And the family who owned all of this art had died. And so now it was just, it's all open, it's available. And what was so fascinating about that experience is whoever bought the portrait of the Son got it all. Whoever got the Son got it all. Isn't that true in Christ? Whoever gets the Son gets it all. You don't have to fear your inheritance in Christ. Whoever gets the Son gets it all. You can trust that God is working consistent with His nature and His character to provide you with an inheritance beyond your comprehension. Here's in Christ reality number 8. In Christ, I am sealed. Safe, secure, sealed. I love verses 13 and 14. In Him, you also. In Christ, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee. Isn't that a good word? Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of His glory. Notice the divine transaction that solidifies this in Christ reality. Paul says, when you heard and believed, you were sealed. Now, there's a false teaching out there that we've combated for many decades. And here it is. Come accept Christ and get saved. Then we're going to put you on a path to pursue a second blessing. So come to Christ, receive his atoning work on the cross for yourself, be saved. Then you're going to pursue a second blessing. You're going to pursue the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now that's a false teaching. Here's what the Word of God teaches. Come to Christ. Turn from sin. Place your trust in the completed work of Jesus on the cross. And instantaneously, in that moment of conversion, in the midst of that divine transaction, you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. You're filled with the person of the indwelling Spirit simultaneously. It's not an event that you pursue after you come to faith in Christ. It's simultaneously. And you're filled with the Spirit of God. And he moves in permanently. He doesn't move in, then move out. Well, I think I'm saved. Well, now I feel like I'm lost. And no, I'm saved. No, I'm lost. No. Once you're in Christ, no one can pluck you out of the Father's hand. Once you're sealed by the Spirit of God, you're not unsealed. And you say, yeah, but when you're watching how somebody's living, are they really in Christ? Well, the question is, were they authentically in Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit? Or did they come to faith in Christ and we didn't disciple them, so they're still like a babe in Christ, acting like little babies act? Once you're sealed by the Holy Spirit, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. It's not a resealable experience. Romans 10, 14 through 15, and verse 17. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So when Walter came to faith in Christ, in that moment, he experienced a divine transaction. He was adopted into God's family, sealed by the Spirit of God, his name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Saved, lavished with God's grace, he was in Christ. What about you? What about your journey with God? Have you been sealed by the Holy Spirit? Have you turned from sin and trusted in Jesus alone for your salvation? Because the moment you make that decision, your constant companion, capital C, your constant companion, the indwelling Holy Spirit, is your guarantee of the inheritance God has for you. Here are three action steps I want you to write down, plug them in Monday morning. Step number one. Step number one, incorporate in Christ realities into your daily quiet time. You want to talk about liven up your quiet time? You want to freshen up your faith? You want to invigorate your journey with God? Incorporate these in Christ realities. In other words, say them, pray them, and affirm them. What are they? I am chosen. I'm adopted. I'm purposed. I'm redeemed. I am forgiven. I'm graced. I'm enriched. And I'm sealed. You start proclaiming that every morning. You say it, pray it, spray it, whatever you've got to do. And you just put that up in the devil's grill. Step number two, declare your new identity in Christ. Declare it. Don't hide it. Don't withhold that information. Declare it. I love what Beth Moore said. Don't you love Beth Moore? She's such a fireball, loves God, here from Houston. She's truly on fire for God. Years ago, I read one of her books, and I've read many, but I remember these phrases from that book I read. I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. I can do all things through Christ. I'm believing God. Say that with me. I'm believing God. Declare that. Declare that. And then step number three, live up to the name you bear and the jersey you wear. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you get a new name and a new jersey. You trade in that old jersey that has a big S on it for sin, or D for devil, or H for hell. and you get a new jersey with a big J for Jesus. And don't ever forget who you are in Jesus. You're a child of the King. God loves you so much. He calls you the apple of His eye. You're His workmanship. You're His masterpiece. You are His treasure. Can anybody top that? That's who you are in Christ.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's Word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.